8:55 Eastern Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations bring you Elmer Davis and the news.
Europe seems to be marking time in diplomacy and at the front while it waits for Hitler's speech to the Reichstag on Friday. Tomorrow, the Führer makes his triumphal entry into Warsaw, taking possession of his conquest as he took possession of Prague last spring and of Vienna a year ago last spring, and then returns to Berlin for the speech in which he is expected to lay down his terms of peace. Mussolini will wait for Hitler. Dispatches from Rome say he, too, has drafted a peace proposal, but will hold it up till he sees what happens to Hitler's offer. Even in Berlin, there's no expectation that the Allies will accept it. Mr. Chamberlain said yesterday that England is determined that the rule of violence must cease. Premier Daladier today told the Foreign Affairs Commission of the Chamber of Deputies that France does not wish any longer to live in the state of insecurity prevailing in the last few years, and both Allies have said that they cannot trust the word of the present German government. That may be the decisive factor if Hitler should offer superficially attractive terms. No one knows whether he will or not, yet in the famous 16 points which Ribbentrop read to the British ambassador in Berlin at midnight on August 30th, and which the Poles never had a chance to accept or reject, there was a plan for the settlement of the corridor question, which, if the Germans had ever given other nations an opportunity to examine and discuss it, would have been hard to reject offhand. A plan which would have offered a real chance for a durable solution if it had been presented by a government in which other governments had confidence. But if Hitler should present anything like that on Friday, it would still come up against the objection, which even Mr. Lloyd George urged in the House of Commons yesterday, that the British want some surer guarantee than Hitler's word. But reports from Berlin don't indicate that he's likely to offer anything that will have much of an appeal for the Allies. It is predicted that he will threaten a violent attack if they don't make peace. And Berlin reports tonight that by the weekend, the greater part of the German Air Force will be on the Western Front ready for instant action. In Washington, the Senate took up the neutrality bill again, Senator Connally of Texas speaking for it and Senator Vandenberg of Michigan against it. At the conclusion of the debate, Senator Toby, Republican of New Hampshire, moved that the bill be sent back to the Foreign Relations Committee to be split in two, with repeal of the arms embargo to be considered separately from the cash and carry and the other provisions. The point being, of course, that almost everybody in Congress would vote for cash and carry, and many members of both houses think it would be wise to pass that now without waiting for the long debate over the embargo in order to remove the risk that American ships carrying contraband to Europe might be sunk. But Senator Barkley, the administration leader, got this motion put off till Monday and said later that he thought it would probably be permanently sidetracked. This at least raises the suspicion that the supporters of repeal of the embargo are afraid that they might not be able to win unless their proposal is tied up in the same package with cash and carry. But there are other provisions in the bill which may lead to practical difficulties unforeseen. The bill empowers the president to define combat areas and to order American citizens and American ships to keep out of them. The framers of the measure obviously had in mind the waters off the shores of England, France, and Germany. But the naval war has already spread to the seas off neutral countries. They, too, are combat areas now and not merely European neutrals. Our shortwave listening station has just picked up a British broadcast quoting the chief officer of the British freighter Clements, sunk 70 miles off the coast of Brazil a few days ago. He says positively that the Clement was sunk by the German pocket battleship Admiral von Scheer. Now, these pocket battleships or fast armored cruisers are very powerful vessels, fast enough to run away from any battleship, heavy and heavily enough armed to sink any cruiser. They're very dangerous. But the British and French have battle cruisers which could both catch and sink her. Some of those ships certainly will be sent after the Admiral von Scheer if she is loose in the South Atlantic, and then those waters will become a combat area. It was certainly not the intent of Section 3 of the neutrality bill to stop our commerce with Brazil and the Argentine. Yet that is apparently what could happen if its provisions are literally applied. Today, President Arosemena of Panama, speaking in the name of the 21 republics which took part in the Inter-American Conference, notified the belligerents of the 300-mile safety zone around the Americas and asked them to observe it. But already the Admiral von Scheer has sunk a British ship far inside that zone. Presently, a British or a French ship may sink the Admiral von Scheer, and it is hard to see what any of the American republics are going to do about it. It was a magnificent idea, this 300-mile safety zone, but this one German pocket battleship makes it look like nothing much more than an ambitious bluff.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.